Today, sharing the Daf Yomi's Gemara in Sota, Daf Tez Zayin. We're picking up in the Gemara five lines to the top, Tez Zayin or Aleph, with the words Yiboyelu. We'll remind ourselves what we're talking about as soon as we ask the question. Yiboyelu, they ask in the base medrash the following question. Ein Shom Ofor, if there is no dirt there in the base HaMikdash, and yesterday's shir, at the end of the shir, we spoke about that there was a tile, an Amma by Amma tile that was in the Heichal, underneath of which there was either loose dirt or you placed dirt over there and you took that dirt and mixed it into the water. So what happens, the Gemara now asks, Ein Shomofer, there was no dirt over there. And they had no dirt for whatever the reason. Mahu Shiitain Afer. Afer with an Aleph is supposed to offer with an Ayin. Can you use ashes? Afer with an Aleph means ashes. Can you use ashes to place inside the water that ultimately the Sota will drink? That will be the Meisota, the Mayim Hama'arim. So can you use ashes instead of Ofor dirt. Aleph, Afer, instead of Ofor, Ayin. So the Gemara says, the question doesn't even get off the ground, according to Beis Shammai. Aliba, the Beis Shammai, lo tiboy, look, you don't even get the question off the ground, according to Beis Shammai, because they hold the Amrei, lo matzinu, Afer, shekari Ofor. We never find Afer with an Aleph is interchangeable with Ofor with an Ayin. Ashes are not interchangeable with dirt. As we'll see, according to Beis Hillel, they are, and we'll see that case in a moment, in terms of Kisi Adam. Kiti Ba'aloch, the question that we're asking in the base medrash, can the afer with an aleph be used for the mei sota, is based upon the fact that Beis Hillel says that the afer with an aleph is allowed to be used for kisui adam. Kiti Ba'aloch, halibu de Beis Hillel. The amri, motzinu afer, shikari offer. Sometimes we do have ashes, afer with an aleph, that can replace, offer the dirt with an ayin. Where is that? My, that's by kisui adam. As Rashi brings down in the middle of Dibra Maskel, Im Kemata Malomer Bekarka, it should probably be a separate Dibra Maskel where it talks about Pluks of the Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel, B'Shchitas Chulin. Rashi always refers to Masechta Chulin as Shchitas Chulin. It's inappropriate, Rashi feels, to ever call a Masechta Chulin, the unsanctified Masechta. So he always calls it Shchitas Chulin. That's the godless of Rashi. He teaches us even by the way he names a Masechta. So, in any event, in the Gemara in Chulin, it says, Gabekis Yadam, Aliba de Beis Hillel, the Amri, Afer Karui Offer. Beis Hillel says, one can do the mitzvah Kis Yadam when you shecht a bird or the non-domesticated animals like a deer or an ibex, etc. So there's a mitzvah Kis Yadam. By the three behemos, by the goat, sheep, and cow families, there is no mitzvah Kis Yadam, but when you shecht the chicken, you shecht the bird, or you shecht one of the chayos, so then there is a mitzvah Kis Yadam. So, the Gemara in Chulin tells us that Beis Hillel holds that Afer with an Aleph is Karui Ofer with an Ayin. Ashes can do the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. You don't have to do dirt. Because the Chsiv, it says, V'lachu la tomei may arfar sreifas hachatos. Because it refers to the Parah Aduma, sreifas hachatos with an Ayin. It calls it the dirt of the sreifas hachatos. Now, that is ashes. So we see that Beis Hillel does hold that sometimes Afer with an Aleph is fulfilling the requirement of Ofer with an Ayin. So Beis Shammai disagrees. Beis Shammai omim Ofer Sreifa Nikra. Over there, by the Parah Aduma, it's called Ofer Sreifa. And therefore, may Afar Sreifa Sachatos tells us that only in that situation and no place else, Ofer Stoma, lo ikre. But Afer is never called Ofer Stoma, whereas Beis Hillel says it is. So therefore, in regards to Kisi Adam, Beis Hillel says that you're allowed to use ashes, you don't have to use dirt. So my, over here, by the Sota, can ashes replace dirt for the Mei Sota? So Afo Gav the ikre Ofer, even though the Pasuk says, you have to take the dirt from the floor of the Beis HaMikdash of the Heichal and use that for the Mei Sota. Hocha, it says, Bikarka HaMishkon Ksiv, and therefore, it bedafka must be dirt, offer. Even though Afer can sometimes replace offer, here it can't. Or do we say, no, Odilma. Hi, Bikarka Mishkan, the words Bikarka Mishkan were not to teach us dirt. They were for the drushes that we had at the end of yesterday's shir. Either L'chadisi ben Yehuda, L'chadisi ben Menachem Hudiyasi. The drushes that we learned at the end of yesterday's shir. According to these two mandiyamas, that's why it had to say Bikarka Mishkan, but not to teach us that it has to be the dirt of the Mishkan. And in fact, Ofer sometimes can have Afer replace it. And that would be the case here, according to Beis Hillel. So that's the question they ask in the Beis Medrash. Can Afer replace Ofer for the Mei Chatos? Toshma. So we probably bring an answer from the following. The Omer of Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, Again, another example of Rav Yochanan, who was an Amora, said, Mishum, not directly hearing, but in the name of the earlier Tanoim, he had heard from his Rebbeim, we just don't know the whole listing. So we find this many times in Shas, Dom Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yishmael. In any event, he says, in three places, B'shloshim Makomos, Halacha, which means Halacha L'moshe B'Sinai, is Okeves Mikra. It, so to say, uproots the Mikra. You can see in the Tosa Shans, down on the left side of the Daf, right, under the darker Begimu Makomos, where it has that Dibra Maschel, it says Pirusha Kuntris. We don't have it in Rashi over here, but Rashi elsewhere tells us that this means Mikapeches Es Akevo, which means Vamadoso Viokroso. It means it goes and uproots. It's like it's stepping on it. Makeves is a lotion of the heel, Akev. So it's like it's stepping on it. It's uprooting it. So in three places, Rav Yochanan brings down the name of Rabbi Shmuel, that the Halach L'Moshe B'Sinai, which is of course a Din D'Araisa, uproots the Psukim that we have. The Psukim seem to suggest do it one way, and the Halach L'Moshe B'Sinai uproots it. Now, these three places did not mention, as we'll see, Afer with an Aleph being allowed to be used for the Meisota. So, from the fact that it only mentions these three, and it doesn't mention Afer being able to be used for the Meisota, we want to suggest the answer should be no, that you can't use Afer ashes for the Meisota. What are the three places where it says Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai uproots the din? HaTorah Omra Be'ofar. In regards to Kisei Adam, it says Ofar, that you have to cover up the blood of either the bird or the chaya that's been shechted with Ofar, with dirt. However, the Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai, the Halacha B'chol Dover. As Rashi tells us, Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai says that you're allowed to go and do it with anything HaMegadel Tzmochim, anything that, so to say, grows from the ground. Kigon, he says, Hagir, Vazronich, Vasid, Becharsis, Ulvena, Shekotcha. So all of these are things that are from the ground that are crushed or in some way going to be able to cover up something. So the Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai says it's acceptable. It doesn't have to be pure dirt. That's number one. Then, HaTorah Omra B'Sar, the Torah tells us that a Nazir has to cut his hair with a tar, with a razor. However, the Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai changes that. The Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai says, HaHalacha B'chol Dover, that you can in fact use anything. As Rashi tells us, and the Rashi's here are out of place, so the Rashi for B'chol Dover is a little bit further down, and it tells us, Titnan Nazir Shigilach Bein Bezug Bein Betar, whether a Nazir cut his hair, what he's forbidden to do. That's one of the three main restrictions of a Nazir. He can't be metame tumas mace, as we learned. He can't go and drink any wine or grape products. And he's not allowed to cut his hair. So whether he cuts his hair with a razor, betar, or whether he cuts it bezug with his scissors, oh, shesivse, he removes the hair with his fingers, in all of these situations, koshu chayiv. If he does so, he is chayiv. So here, that's what the din tells us, tar. However, if he does it anyway, the Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai says that you're awesome. And the third one is a Torah Mitzvah Sefer. This, you have to go higher up in the Rashi's. This was where it's out of order. The Torah tells us that you have to write a Sefer Krisus, a Get Krisus, as Rashi says. And the Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai says, no, B'chol Dover. In fact, you can use anything. For example, Rashi says, Shekosu Allah Al Alosh Ozayis, if you wrote on a leaf of a olive leaf, or alanir, or on paper, or aluach, or on some sort of a tablet, that would also fulfill the din of giving a sefer krisus. Now, here, in three, and only these three situations, does the Halacha M'Sinai uproot the psukim. Now, if it were true that we uproot the pasuk that it says offer in regards to the sota, and we can use efer, Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai, Vim Esau, so lech shov dami haik, so that Rabbi Yishmael, when Yochanan brought down the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, so he should have said this as well. From the fact that he didn't state this, it must be that Afer cannot be used for the Meisota. Where it says, Lav Davka. No, it still could be. It mentioned three. Nevertheless, Tana Vishir. In addition to the Afer of the Sota being able to be used Afer, ashes, instead of dirt, so that would have been the fourth one. So if we have only one extra one, we never would not list it. But there's more than one, so then the Tana is not a peddler that goes and lists all of the things. He happened to say there were three, but there actually are five or more. And what is the other one? If you're not including the Meisota, there must be at least another one that's also not being included. Umashir, the Haishir. We never would just leave out one. It must be that there's at least two. So we also left out in this statement that Rabbi Yochanan made in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, Shir Mitzora. He also left out the din of the Mitzora. What is this? So, in regards to Mitzora, there are two shavings that a Mitzora has to do. The first one is done when the kohen declares that his nega is no longer a halachic nega that causes him to be tameh, and then he has to undergo his first taglachas. Then there's a 7-day yemei sifro, and then there's a second taglachas. Now, by the first taglachas, it clearly says he has to shave his entire body. But in regards, all the hair on his entire body. But in regards to the second taglachas, the Raisa says as follows, the Tanya. In regards to the second taglachas, after the 7 days and the first taglachas, so he goes and does a second taglachas. And it says, V'ayah b'yom ha-shvi, on this second taglachas on the 7th day, yigalach, it's called soro. The pasuk says he has to cut off all his hair. Now, that's a klal, all of his hair. That's a general statement. However, then it makes a prat, a specification. Es rosho, you have to cut off the hair of his head. Yes, zikhano, the hair of his beard. Yes, gabosein up, and the hair of his eyebrows. Now, that's a prat, that's a specification. And we had learned, actually, in the Gemara and Nazir, what each of these is coming to include and exclude, and we're not going to go through that now. Here, we're just looking at it from a klal or prat to klal. So we have a general statement, klal, you cut off all your hair, gigalach has kolsar. Then we have a prat that says just the hair on your head, the hair on your beard, and the hair on your eyebrows, that's the prat. And then we have a second klal, the es kolsaro, yigalech. It reiterates again that you have to cut off all your hair, chaz of a klal. So therefore, you have another klal. So this is following the rules. This is Rabbi Shmuel, maybe Shlosh to me, the Torah Desh Ben. This is Rabbi Shmuel's rule that this is klal upratu klal. And what's the rule? Iatodon elok eina prat. When you have a klal upratu klal, it comes to tell us that everything follows the prat. There's a common denominator in the prat that will be the rule for everything. So everything that has that same common denominator as the prat is included in the din here. Mat prat, and in this situation, the prat, rosho, zikono, and gabos einov, mifurosh is specifically stated that it's makom kinus seyar. It's a place where hair is gathered. The hair is gathered on the head. The hair is gathered on the beard. The hair is gathered on the eyebrows and the venira. And it's visible to somebody. It's not hidden. So therefore, the common denominator, the generalization that we make from this prat is any other place, af kol makom, any hair on the body that is kinus, that is gathered together, the kinus seyar, and venira, and it's visible. So wherever you have kinus seyar, and it is visible, that will also apply this din that the Mitzora has to go and shave that area by the second taglachas. So what are we including with this ribuy over here? The prat is coming to add on. This klalu pratu klal is coming to add on something. Ma ravi. What is it coming to include? Rabbe se'ar haraglayim. The hair of, quote, the legs. Now Rashi points out, this means the pubic hair, the osum makom. It's talking about the hair in the genital area. And this is just a euphemism. Velishnasa ma'alya. Velishna ma'ayasa noka. We use over here a nice terminology. It's not nice to say the pubic hair. So instead we use the hair of the legs. But it means the pubic hair. So that's what's coming to be included, that the mitzora on the second taglachas has to also shave the pubic hair. And what is excluded from the din? My miyad. What is not included in the din of the mitzora on the second taglachas having to shave? Miyad. It's coming to exclude the beis hashechi, the hair under the armpit, because that's not visible, it's not near, as Rashi says, utukule gufe, and the hair on the legs and on the arms, which is not kinus, it's not kinus seyer, it's not a gathering hair, its hair is all over the place, it's not gathered in one spot, and therefore, the hair of the arms and the legs, and the hair of the armpits, those are excluded in this din of klal upratu klal. Now, how does this prove anything? How is this, therefore, we wanted to say that Hishir Mitzora, because the Hilchasa Megaleach Kidalas, the Halacha Lamaisa, the Halacha Moshe B'Sinai tells us that even by the second Taglachas, you shave the entire person Kidalas. It should be like a gourd, that he has no hair on his body whatsoever. Now, that's not the simple words of the Pasuk. The simple words of the Pasuk, as through the Klal Upratu Klal, seem to indicate that there are certain hairs that you do shave by the second Taglachas, but there are other hairs, like the hair on the arm and the legs, and in the armpits, that you don't have to shave. So the Pesukim tell us that you don't have to shave those areas, but the Halach L'Moshe Sinai, as evidence from the following Mishnah, says that you do shave those areas also. V'hilchasa migaleach kidalas, based upon the following Mishnah, the Tanan. This is the Mishnah that we have in Negoim, which tells us as follows. Balu l'hakif es ha-mitzora, when the kohen comes to go and shave the mitzora, mavir tar al kol b'saro. He goes and does, this is the first taglachas, he does it on the entire body. That, there's no doubt about it. Everybody agrees the first taglachas includes the hair of the arm, the legs, and the armpits, in addition to, of course, the hair of the head, of the beard, and of the eyebrows. Now, Uktani Seva, but that Mishnah continues, and it says, Ubiyom HaShviya, the second taglachas on the seventh day, Megalcho taglachas Shinia, you do a second taglachas, and here it says, the Mishnah bringing the Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, Kitaglachas Rishona, the exact same as the first taglachas. And the first taglachas is the entire body. So the Mishnah tells us, the Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai says, the second taglachas is also the entire body. And therefore, here is another example, besides aether of the Mei Sota that can be with ashes and not offer. So this is another one. This is the fifth one that the Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai uproots the din. And that's why Tana Vishir. We only listed three, Rav Yochanan in the name of Rav Yishmael. There really were more. And since it's not only one, it's Tana Vishir. He left out at least two. That's not a problem. So therefore, you can't bring a Zariah from this statement of Rav Yochanan in the name of Rav Yishmael that, in fact, Rav Yishmael holds that Afer is not good for the Mei Sota. Now, Rav Nachman Yitzchak disagrees. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, no. Kiko Choshiv Halacha Okeves Mikra. When the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai uproots a pasuk, those are only three. But here, in case number four by the Sota, and in case number five, our Gemara says, in regards to the Metzora, this is only uprooting a din derabanan. Ha okevis mi derabanan hi. And this is uprooting a din derabanan, and therefore, you can't tell us that this is a ton of Ishir, because it's not talking about a din d'oraisa by the Metzora, and therefore there aren't two additional dinim that are left out. There's only one additional din, the din of Efer by Sota, and therefore since it's only one, obviously Rabbi Shmuel doesn't hold from that, and therefore, in fact, the din is that Efer cannot be used for the Mei Sota. That's what Rav Nachman Yitzchak wants to suggest. However, there's a huge problem with this. With the girsa that we have, ha-okevis mi-dirabanan hi, that implies that the drasha of klal upratu klal is a din derabanan. But it's not. This is the Yod Gomel Midas. I tried to drash his man. This is a din deraisa. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's answer is extremely difficult to understand. And if I want to bring down to you the Marid Tzchias. The Marid Tzchias in the back of the Vilna Shas. So he answers beautifully. And he brings down a Yerushalmi from Kiddushin, which says that this was a printer's error over here. That which it says, ha okevis midirabanan hi, is a typo. It's a printer's error. And if he'd say this on his own, that's one thing. But he says, this is the girsa in the Yerushalmi. Our Gemara is found in the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi, in Kiddushin, it has the right girsa. And what it was is he's suggesting that it was an abbreviation. It said, mem dalid resh apostrophe. And that was supposed to be Midarshinon or Medrash, and therefore that was the printer's error. He thought that Mem Dalet Reish stood for Midirabanan hi. And in fact, what the Yerushalmi tells us is, Rav Nachman Yitzchak's answer is that the reason why Rabbi Shmuel didn't list this one because he only listed in his statement three places where the Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai uprooted a Beferish Pasuk. But this Klal upratu klal, which is a din d'oraisa, is called medrash. This is darshinon. This is how we darshin. The Yud Gimel Midas HaTorah nidreshes bohen. And not the word midrabanan. This should have been mid'oraisa, but it's a medrash, mid'darshinon. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel didn't list it. And that, in fact, is Rav Nachman Yitzchak's teretz. And the Marid Tzchias goes a step further, and he says, I'll show you that I'm right. Because if this girsa was supposed to be rabanan, the right terminology would have been okevis rabbanon hi, not midirabanon. It should have said okevis rabbanon. It should have uprooted a din derabanon, not midirabanon. So he uses this as a proof to support the fact that this was the incorrect girsa over here, and we should follow the girsa in the Yerushalmi, which says okevis medrashi. So Rabbi Yishmael is only listing things, the three things where the Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai is uprooting a Beferish Pasuk, but not a Drasha. Oh, beautiful. The next teretz that we give, Rapop Omar, Ki Choshev Halacha Okevis Ve'Okeres, it's only listing over here these three things that Rabbi Yishmael, as brought down by Rabbi Yochanan, is listing three things where the Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai uproots Okeves Ve'Okeres, and totally uproots it. But in our case, ha'okeves umosevesi, our case by the mitzvah was that you're supposed to go and shave off the hair on the head, on the beard, and on the eyebrows. And then the halacha of Moshe Sinai adds, it's not uprooting, but it adds and says that you're also supposed to go and remove the hair that's on the arms, the legs, and in the armpit area. So therefore, it's Mosefes, ha'okeves mosefesi, and that Rabbi Shmuel didn't list. Third answer that we give, Rav Ashi Amar, no, Hamasni Samani, who is this Brisa going according to? This is Rabbi Shmuel. The Darish Klali Uprati. He's the one that Darish's Kaluprat. We turn to Tezayin Omid Beis. However, Kidalas Mani, when we said in the Mishnah that the second Taglachas has to be a total shaving, like the first Taglachas, that's Rabbi Akiva. That goes in according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Now, he has the same psukim that he has to darshan, but Rabbi Yishmol darshan them klal upratu klal. But Rabbi Akiva throughout Shas is famous for darshaning the Darish Ribui Umiyute, a different drasha system called Ribui Umiyut. So when we go through that drasha system, we just went through the klal upratu klal. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's a Ribui Umiyut and Ribui, the Tanya. Pasuk says, "Vayah biyom hashvi igalach is called sa'aro." So that's a ribui. That's going to tell us he has to cut all of his hair. Now, this is on the taglachas on the seventh day. When it then says the what Rabbi Yishmael called the prat es roshov v'yezikano v'yezkabo seinav. So here it's not called the prat; it's called the miyut. And we'll see it's a more expansive type of a drasha. In general, miyut ribui miyut is always more expansive than klal upratu klal. So here the individual quote pratim. What we call now miut is rosho, zikano, and gabo seinav. And then we have the final, what was previously a klal, which is now another riboy, that's called so yigaleach, chazav riboy. So this is riba, miut, riba. And what does that mean? Riba kol. It's expansive. It includes everything. We include everything in the taglachas. What's not included? We'll see in a second. But my riba includes everything. Riba the kule gufe. This includes the hair on the arms, the legs, and in the armpit. Not like Rabbi Shmuel learned in the klal upratu klal system. But there has to be some sort of a miut over here because it's a ribui miut ribui system. So what's the miut? My miut? Miut seyar shebetoch hachotem. It's excluding the hairs inside your nose, the nasal hairs. Those aren't included in this din. Now, Rabbi Shmuel certainly didn't include them also because they're not near it. So, therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, that's what's excluded from this miut. According to Rabbi Shmuel, no, we're including the hairs of the arms, the legs, and the armpits, and that's the machlokas over here between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. But that's the third teretz, Ravashi's teretz, that we say that, in fact, the statement that Rabbi Yochanan brought down from Shmuel, we can't use conclusively to prove one way or the other, was a tana v'shiyah. So, Gemara says, no, my having a law. Bottom line is, does Rabbi Shmuel hold over here that you can use afer with an aleph for the mesota or not? So Toshma will bring a right from the following. The Amr of Huna Barashi Amar Rav, Rav Huna Barashi is the name of Rav, Ein Shom Ofer. He said, Beferish, if there is no dirt there in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, so then, maybe Rak Buvis, Yorok Umikadesh. Then go bring the rekev, the dust, the decaying part of a vegetable, and use that for the mesota. Now, the girsa that we have is Velohi, but that's not true because Rak Buvis Yarek, who the Havai offer? That is called offer, but maybe Afer, Lo Havai offer. You can't bring a Saraya that Afer is in fact called offer. So, therefore, the simple understanding with the girsa that we have is we try to bring a Raya and we don't have a Raya. However, Rashi is not Goris the words Velohi, and the Tosu Shans explained because why wasn't Rashi Goris over here? Because near Atam, he says this is 4 or 5 lines into the Tosu Shans, and he says Mishum the Kabai my Havi Allah. Whenever we have the terminology my Havi Allah, he says the Kabai my Havi Allah umayse Allah, and then we bring something that means that we go that way. So therefore, the way Rashi read this, the way Tosfos Shans understands Rashi, is delete the words Velohi and say that Rav Huna Barashi said in the name of Rav that what you should do is bring specifically Rak Buvis Yerek and use that because you cannot use Afer. So this is a definitive statement that says that Rabbi Shmuel would not allow to use Afer instead of Ofer for the Mei Sota. Okay, that concludes that beautiful little sugya, and we go on to quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Kadesh Yirah Alamayim." You have to put earth into the payoli shalcheres, the earthenware container. We discussed in yesterday's shiur, according to Rishmo, it was a brand new earthenware container. According to the Tana of our Mishnah, it just had to be something that was clean. It couldn't be blackened, but it didn't have to be brand new. In any event, so the Mishnah said that you have to put enough dirt in there so you can see it in the water. It's on top of the water like we darshaned. Tana Rabban, we learn the following braisa, shlosha tzrichin sheiro. This is not the only example where you have to have something visible, but in three cases, there has to be something done that is visible. What are those three? Afar soda. Oh, that's our case over here. That you have to have enough dirt that is visible on top of the water. And the second case is ve'efer para. When you're putting the ashes of the paraduma into the water, it also has to be visible. You have to put enough that it's visible on top of the water. And the third case is ve'rok of a yavama. We didn't learn yavamas that long ago. It was the beginning of this Seder of Noshim. And there we learned when the yavam does not do yibum on his dead brother's wife who didn't have any children. So then, in that situation, there's the process of chalitza, and the chalitza process is that she has to spit in front of him, and it has to be visible by the Beis Din, and that completes the process where he's not taking her to be make him shame ochiv. So therefore, the roke of the yavama, when she spits, that has to be visible to the eyes of the Beis Din. So these are the three things, the afra sota, the efer para, and the roke of yavama have to be visible. But that's the Tanakama. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, he adds a fourth one. Amru, af dam tzipor. He says also the blood of the Mitzorah in the process of being Mitzorah, Mitzorah. So you have to go and shech one of the two birds that are taken. And it's not a korban, but the blood from that bird is put into Mayim Chaim and put into water. And that has to also be visible. The dam of the tzipor has to be visible in the water. So Rabbi Shmuel adds a fourth thing. And the first Gemara will say, what's his reasoning, and why doesn't the Tanakhama of this price agree with him? So we start off my time with Rabbi Yishmael. What's the rationale of Rabbi Yishmael in this situation? Because the Pasuk says, Dichsib, the Toval Osam, and the rest of the Pasuk is, the Ace Hatzipor Hachaya. Those are the words that are missing over here. And then it says, you take the Tzipor Hachaya, Bidam Hatzipor Shchuta. And then you do that, Al Hamayim Hachayim. That's the whole pasuk that we're interested in right now. So we darshan it as follows. V'tanya, we learned in the following braisa, the pasuk just said, Bidam Hatzipor, right? You have to put it in the Bidam Hatzipor Hashruta. You put the Ezo and the Tolas Hashoni inside the blood of the Tzipor Hashruta. And you do that as well, the Tzipor Hachaya as well. Now you have to put this in Bidam. So I might have thought, Yochal Badam V'lo B'mayim, that you just put it into the blood, but there's no water. So therefore, Talmud Lomer, that the Girsa that we have is Bamayim. The Pasuk, however, says Hamayim Achayim, and therefore Rashi changes the Girsa here and said the word should be Mayim. So therefore, you can't just put it into the dam. You have to put it into the dam and the water. No, if it just said imayim, yochal b'mayim v'lo b'dam, I would have said just put it into the water and not the blood. So therefore, Talmud Lomar, b'dam, you need both of them. How do you do both, the mayim and the dam? Okay, it's very simple. Maybe mayim shadam tzipor nikar behem. You go bring water that had the dam of the shchuta bird mixed in the dam into the water, and it should be nikar behem. The kama, how much is this? Revius. It has to be a revius of water. So therefore, that will be the amount that when you have the dam of the bird that is shchuta put into this revius of water, so then that will fulfill the din. That's where Rabbi Shmuel gets it from this pasuk, where it mentions the word that it says, v'toval osom v'dam hatzipar shchuta al hamayim hachayim. So both are necessary. That's what Rabbi Shmuel says. No, why does the Tanakhama hold like that? He only mentioned three. He mentioned the Afar Para, he mentioned the Afar Sota, and he mentioned the din of the Roke of the Yavama. But he didn't mention this din. Why not? Rabbanon ha'ulegufe. They say that you need these words to teach you that you have to go and dip the Ezo, v'shnisolas, and the Tzipor, hachaya, into both of them. Ha'ulegufe. The Torah tells us, at bil bidam uvamayim. You have to go dip it into the dam and the mayim. But lab davka, that the dam has to be recognizable in the water. No, that's a good teretz. Why doesn't Rabbi Shmuel hold like that? Rabbi Shmuel, he says, no. Im kein lichtov rachmona v'taval bahem. Then you should say, dip it into them. And then I would know it means both of them. When it specifically mentions bidam, and it says uvamayim, so then lomuli, so why does it mention both of them? Ah, must be l'nikar. It must be that the dam must be visible on the water. Mor says, no, that's a good teretz. What did the Rabbanan do with that? What does the Tanakhama do with that, Rabbanan? They say, no. Ikas Rahmana v'taval b'hem. If we had written the word v'taval b'hem, I would have said each one separately. Havamina, ha'iluchuday, ha'iluchuday. Yeah, you dip the Ezo v'shnisolas and the Tzipor Achaya into the dam first, and then you dip it into the water. How do I know you're supposed to move them together? Kasa rachmana bidam uvamayim la'arvin. It teaches us that they have to be mixed together. But la davka, that it's recognizable. Nope, that's a good teretz. What does Rabbi Shmuel do with that? Rabbi Shmuel, li'arvin k'rachrino k'siv. I already have a pasuk to tell me that they're mixed together. That pasuk is v'shachar esatzipo ha'echos v'gomer. What pasuk is this? So this pasuk is v'tziva ha'kohen v'shachar esatzipo ha'echos El klicheres al mayim chayim. So we already know that they're mixed together. So therefore, the second time it says it, v'dam uvamayim, is to teach me that the dam must be recognizable in the water. Ah, that's Rabbi Shmuel Shita. Now we throw it back on the Rabbanan. What do they do with that? The Rabbanan, they said, no. If you only had the drushes that Rabbi Shmuel said, imeahu, you know what it would have said? Hava mina lishchate samuch lumana. The first pasuk that says, v'shochad esat zipor ho'echos el klicheres al mayim chayim means above it. It doesn't mean in it. And I would have said, v'nin ketinhu livriden, you go and shecht it above the water, but then you pierce off, you pinch off the vriden, the big veins of the neck where you go and shecht the bird, and then you don't let the blood fall into the mayim. However, and you then take it away, you shechted it over the water like the pasuk says, and then you take the blood and you let it go, drip into some other clay. And then you'll dip separately into the water and separately into the dam. Oh, that's why you need the second pasuk. The Torah teaches us, b'dam uvamayim, to teach us they must be mixed together, but lafdavka, that they're nikar. So this is the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yishmael. Does it have to be nikar or not? Now the Gemara asks, Boy, Minei Rabbi Yirmiyah Rav Zeira. Rabbi Yirmiyah asks from Rav Zeira the following shaila. Now, Rabbi Yirmiyah is famous throughout Shas for asking very, very specific questions like this about shiurim. And in fact, the Gemara in Bava Basra says he once asked too many times. He once asked a question there where he said the shiur was 50 amma. And he said, what happens if one animal, 1 foot of the bird that we're talking about in that situation was beyond the 50-yard line and one is within the 50-yard line? Does this din apply in that situation? And he was thrown out of the base medrash. No. Rabbi Yirmiyah was a great, great tzaddik. He was restored to the base medrash later on the Masechta. But Rabbi Yirmiyah is famous throughout Shas for asking these types of questions. And here he asks over here, what happens if the bird is gedola, it's a big bird, the blood is so much blood that comes out of the bird's neck that when it goes into the water, it doesn't look like there's water over there. It looks like it's all blood. Or alternatively, kitana, the bird is so small, the nitches mipnei hamayim, and it, so to say, has so little blood in it that when it goes into the water, it's almost totally not recognizable in the water anymore. Maybe there's a little bit of a red tinge, but you don't see blood. So mahu, what would be halacha in that situation? So this is Rav Yirmiyah's question. Rav Zeira doesn't like it. Omer later, Rav Zeira tells him, Lava mina loch, haven't I told you already? Lo topic nafshach labami hilchasa. Stop asking questions like this. As Rashi points out, Liro Masa lo topic. He says, Kol divrei chachomim shenikbu alta haher acharein. When the rabbi set up shiurim, the shiurim halach l'moshe b'sinai. And when the rabbi set up shiurim over here, don't question them. You're causing people to lose faith. And you shouldn't go and ask questions on these things. This is the halacha l'mishinai. And the pasuk over tells us b'tzip or dror, either a specific bird known as a tzip or dror, or it means a free bird. Again, machlok is exactly what tzip or dror is translated at, but let's just say it's a set bird, b'tzip or dror, shiru rabbanan. The rabbis said this is the type of bird that we're using for the mitzvah, and therefore there is no tzip or dror that is so big or so small that your question would apply. In other words, there is no such tzip or dror that is so big that it's going to make the water turn into blood that you won't recognize that it's bloody water. You'll just think it's all blood. And likewise, there's no tzip or dror that's so small that its blood will be so absorbed within the water that you may notice a slight reddish hue, but you won't think that there's any blood in it. So therefore, your question doesn't get off the ground. Don't ask questions like this on the shiurim of the Torah. Okay, the Gemara continues and says, Tana Rabbana, we learn the following braisa. What happens if hikdim offer l'mayim? The Braisa says, what happens if you go and first put in the dirt and then you put in the mayim in regards to the sota, so then possible. The Braisa says, that's no good. You have to go have the water first and then put the dirt, the offer, into the may sota, into the waters that the sota will ultimately drink. The dirt has to go into the water and not the other way around. You can't have the dirt first and then pour water on top of it. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. However, Rav Shimon Machshe, Rav Shimon says, nothing do it. That's perfectly good. Doesn't make a difference whether the water goes in first or the dirt goes in first. As long as you have a mixture of dirt and water, it is fine. Now, the Tanakhama seems to be following the words of the Pasuk, so we don't have to explain him. Yes, my time with Rav Shimon. What's Rav Shimon's reasoning? So Rav Shimon says as follows. The reason why it doesn't make any difference is because Dechsev, it says over here, in regards to the Parah Aduma, Bilaklu La Tomei Me'arfar Sreifas Achatus. We had this pasuk earlier. It says that you'll take the Afar with an ayin of the Sreifas Achatus. The ashes of the Parah Aduma here are called Afar. We had this pasuk earlier for that. But here we're interested in, it says that you'll take the ashes of the Parah Aduma. And the Tanya, another Brisa, then says, Amar Rabbi Shimon darshans this pasuk as follows. V'chi offer who? Is it offer with an ayin? Follow Avra who? It's ashes with an aleph. So what's it teaching us over here? So it Badavka used the term offer with an ayin instead of the word Avra with an aleph to teach us a Gzerishova. Shina kosov bimashmo, lodun himenu Gzerishova. The Badavka, the Torah specifically wrote over here, Afar with an ayin, Sreifas Achatas, and not Afar with an aleph, Sreifas Achatas, to teach us the following Zerishava, to compare it to the Parah Aduma to a Sota. So Nehemar can offer in regards to the Parah Aduma, it said offer. And it says in regards to the Sota, but therefore Lahalan offer by the Sota, that you have to add dirt to the water. So Malahalan offer Agabe Mayim, just like by the Sota, the Psukim say, exactly as the Tanakhama said, that you have to add the dirt to the water, so too, Lichatrila Avkan, in regards to the Parah Aduma, add the offer al gabi mayim lechatchila. In both places, Rabbi Shimon agrees that you should ideally have the water first and then add the ashes in regards to the Parah Aduma and the mesota, the offer, in regards to the sota. However, uma kan hikdim offer lemayim kosher, but just like they did by Parah Aduma, if you did it backwards, if you put the dirt first, the ashes of the Parah Aduma first, and then you put in the water, so then that's good. So too, by sota, Rabbi Shimon says, Aflahal in regards to Sota, if you were to hikdim offer, if you put the dirt in first and only add it afterwards, add the water, so hikdim offer lemayim, it would also be kosher. So the obvious question is, well, also we know, how do you know by the Parah Aduma, if you went out of order, that it's acceptable? So Rabbi Shimon would say, Trei Kroi Ksivi, because there are two psukim over there. What are the two psukim? Ksiv Olav, it says that the kohen shall go and place water on it. The pasuk says, "V'lachu la'tomei me'afar sreifas achatos v'nasan olav mayim chayim mokeli," which seems to imply alma efer bereisha, that you could have the dirt first, the ashes first, meaning the offer, the ashes of the Parah Aduma. Uksiv mayim chayim mokeli. But we have another pasuk that says, "No, you should have the mayim chayim in the kli first. It has to go in there and not into dirt." So alma mayim bereisha. So we seem to have a conflict. One pasuk says water first. One pasuk seems to say the ashes of the Parah Aduma first. So which one is it? So Gemara says, okay, it said, how do you do this? The answer is, Rotzazet, no say. You have a fielder's choice. So by the Parah Aduma, it doesn't make any difference. Lichatchila, we put the water first, and then the ashes are added to it. But, b'di'evet, if you did it that way, it's fine. And through the Gzeirah Shava, Rabbi Shimon says, therefore the same din applies by Sota. Oh, Rabbi Shimon seems very, very good. No, the Rabbanan, what do they do with that? So the Rabbanan say, no. The Chacham who argue with Rabbi Shimon say, the Pasuk says, El Keli, that's Dafka. That you have to have the water going into the vessel, that is Dafka. And when it says the Pasuk, Olav, that Pasuk which we said, Olav, Mayim Chayim, El Keli, that teaches us the Arvan, that they have to be mixed together, but not that the ashes are first and then the water is added. No. Why not? The aim of all of Dafka, say the other way around. All of means Dafka, that you have to have, in fact, the water added to the ashes. And El Keli, that teaches us, Shetehei Chiyusam B'Kli, that it actually has to come directly from Mayim Chayim into the Kli. Maybe that's what it's talking about. So Gemara says, no. Ma Matzina B'Chomoko Machshir L'Mala, in general, and specifically in the case of Sota. So there, the water has to be there first, and the earth is added to that, so that's l'chatchila, the way it should be, so too, afkan machshu l'mala, so too, by the Parah Aduma, the more correct way to be is that the water should be there, and then you add the ashes of the Parah Aduma to it, and that's the way the Chachamim understand the pasuk, and that's the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. We, Baruch Hashem, came to the end of the daf. Tomorrow we start a brand new Mishnah. With this, we conclude today's shiur.